This next gentleman, first of all, once you get past the fact that you really want to ask him seriously, your last name is Christmas. No joke. Like, are you married to Mary? You know, his last name really is Christmas, and he didn't change it to that just because he loves the holiday. He was born that way. But one of the things you're going to see about Steve Christmas is this guy really lives, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Please welcome Steve Christmas.
Good morning. How are you all doing today? I am so excited about being here. He's exactly right. My name is Christmas, Steve Christmas. My mom's name is Merry Christmas, true story. My dog's name is Jingle Bells. And it's 33 days till Christmas right now, okay? And so we're excited about that. But I'm excited about being here. And I just thank you so much for letting me come. While he's queuing that up, let's just pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for everything you've done. We thank you for this opportunity. And right now, I just pray for the words that you want to share and to talk about. I pray for each person as I'm speaking to them, that you will just open their hearts and that they'll recognize they can believe you for anything. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to tell you about some stories that have gone on in our life and things we've seen God do in amazing ways. Before we do, could you read that for me? Miracles? What do you see there? Jamie, what do you see? He sees miracles are nowhere. And you said it said, how many people see miracles are nowhere? A few of you. How many people see miracles are now here? What you see there is very indicative of what you're going to see for the next 30 to 40 minutes. Just so I can go ahead and tell you this, I'm going to show you some really interesting pictures today. If you've got a weak stomach, go ahead and close your eyes when we get to that section. So I tell you that up front. But it is you've been told that, so that you know what we're about to see. February 28th of 2012, that's my wife's birthday. I've got my wife's name is Robin Christmas. I've got a son named Barton Christmas. And it was her birthday. It was a normal week. We had just come back earlier in the summer from vacation. Normal year. No big deal or anything like that. In fact, for her birthday, we took her to Olive Garden. It was one of her favorite places to eat. We ate everything we wanted just the way we would. And nothing was out of the ordinary. In fact, she did not have diabetes. She was not sick. There was nothing abnormal about that day. In fact, that Sunday, we'd just gone to church that week. You know, just a great day. But on March 1st, 2 days later, it was my son. He had an event. So I had taken off to take him to school. And they called it Dog's Day, Dads of Great Students. And I went there, and he was one of the hosts, and he welcomed me and took my picture and had a chance to go to his classes and just see what goes on in school that day. Well, about the middle of the day, Robin texted me, and she said, come home when you're finished. And I called her, and I said, what's wrong? She said, you know, nothing's wrong. Just when you're finished, don't stay longer than you have to. Just come on home. And I said, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. Just don't stay any longer than you have to. And so we did. And when I got home, she says, you know, I'm just having a hard time breathing. I said, well, let's just go over to the doctor. And so we went over to the walk-in clinic, and they gave her a breathing treatment. And then they test her and says, you know, you're moving air at 99%, nothing major. Said, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a prescription. You go get that. We want you to go the next day and just get a chest x-ray, and we're going to give you a quick steroid shot, and that will help you as well. And so they did. And so afterwards, I went over, and we were getting her medicine. But as she was getting to the car, she was just a little bit, you know, off balance and things. But we got her home and took her to bed and got her tucked in and everything. Barton got in bed. He had school the next day. And she would, at about 10 o'clock, she would say, I'm thirsty. And so I'd go get her something to drink. About 30 minutes later, she says, you know, I'm thirsty, I'm hot. And then she'd say, I'm cold. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, she woke me up and she said, my feet are cold. Now, if your wife says her feet are cold, you would get something and put it over her feet, right? Well, I didn't do that. I took her sock off. Now, why I would do that, I have no idea. But I took her sock off, and whenever I took her sock off, her feet weren't just cold. Her feet were very cold, and they were purple. And I thought, well, my goodness. And so, you know, I called my sister-in-law, her sister. She's a nurse. And so I asked her, I said, what's going on? She said, well, just, you know, it's probably just a circulation issue or something. Everything's probably going to be all right. And I said, well, I don't feel that way. So we called the ambulance. So the ambulance comes, and they take her, and they take her to the hospital. So we get there. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, we're now in the emergency room. And we've got, they have her in one of the small rooms. And it wasn't long. Next thing you know, she's in the large emergency room, and we've got lots of nurses and doctors around her, and so they're all watching, and they're asking me the questions of what happened. Exactly what I told you is exactly what I told them. And so whenever I left the house to go to the emergency room, I grabbed this backpack, and I was going out there, and I put my Bible in, and I tucked that in there. And so while they were in there, I was going back and forth, and I was reading some verses. And I want you to look at this one, Psalm 41. And this was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was in the emergency room waiting area. Barton, I'd taken him to the hospital with me, and he was just laying on the couch asleep. And I was just going back and forth, and I was reading the Bible. And it said, blessed is he who is considerate to the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And you know, that verse kind of jumped out at me. Now, I've never really read this passage before, but on that particular day, it jumped out because my wife is very kind to the poor. She's very kind to the needy. And when I read that, it's like, that means something. And it says, he'll deliver them in time of trouble. And I thought, I think we've got a time of trouble. This should be, we qualify. And so it said, the Lord will preserve and keep him alive, and he'll be blessed on the earth, and will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. And we talked about that just a little bit ago. And so then the next one says, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you'll sustain him on his sick bed. Well, that was about 3 o'clock in the morning. About 6 o'clock, they were getting ready to change the doctors, and the first doctor introduced me to the 6 o'clock doctor, and she said, your wife is very sick. We're doing everything we can. Well, I didn't really know what to say, but I knew on TV they always say, Doc, will they make it? And so that's what I said. Is she going to make it? And all she responded was that your wife is very sick and we're doing the best we can. 6 o'clock in the morning. At 8 o'clock in the morning, we have now graduated from the emergency room up to ICU. And at that point, we were introduced to 11 specialists, and they were from all the ranges. And at that point, when I was able to enter into her room, they had her on a respirator. I didn't even know what a respirator looked like. But they had her on a respirator. She was unconscious. She was, at that point, had entered into a coma. And I still wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. But I just knew that I believed God, and that I believed that she was going to be just fine. And so we waited, and we were there. And, you know, so you're thinking, now what to do? Well, always something that can take your mind. At 12 o'clock that day, we had a tornado. And if you go back and look in Paducah area, we had a tornado. So all of a sudden, they're rushing all of us into one room and getting all the patients in the hallway. And so now if we don't have enough going on, we've now got to deal with a tornado that's in the area. And so we're waiting on that. And so, you know, that's just one more thing, but it keeps us going about what's God doing? What's the enemy doing? What's happening? Well, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everything gets back into its place. And I was back in the room, and it was just us. The nurses were all kind of stabilizing their situation. And this chaplain walks into the hospital room there. And he looks at me, and so he's asking, like, what's happening and what's going on? And I basically told him the same story that I just told you. I said, do you have a Bible? And the chaplain says, not with me. And I thought, what kind of chaplain are you, you know? And so I said, well, don't worry about it. I've got one. So I came over and grabbed my bag, and I opened it up. And I said, this is what we believe. And I said, my wife is very kind to the needy. And I said, it says that he will deliver her in a time of trouble. And it says that he will strengthen her on her bed of illness. And he will sustain her. And the version that I was reading that day said, on her deathbed. And so I said, that's what we believe. And he looked at me and he said, well, you've heard the story of Job. Job lost everything. And I don't know where it came from, but immediately said, and if we lose everything, we still love God. But until then, we believe this verse. And it just was amazing, because this was what we found as our foundation that day. And we believe it. And I liked it because it said, he will preserve her and keep her alive, and she will be blessed on the earth. And so many people come up and say, well, you know, if she's not healed here, at least she will be healed over there. That's not what it said. It said she would be on this earth. And so that's what we believe. And so we were there, and so 4 days, she was in a coma. And we would just wait, and we'd come in, and I just believed that that was what was doing. And so on that fourth day, I remember going down and into the chapel. And I was in the chapel, and I was just going, and all of a sudden my mind goes to Luke, or goes to John 11, to the story about Lazarus. And I thought, now there's a story, you know. I mean, he was 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And I got to thinking, now this is the fourth day. He started counting that up. I believe this is. And so I'm excited. So I ran up to the room, and I checked on her, and there she was, laying just exactly the way she had been, still unconscious, and she still wasn't there. And I thought, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It says that in the Bible, 4 days. I should be able to believe for that. That could happen. I wish I could tell you it happened, but it didn't. So the next day, I take my son to school, and I tried to keep things as normal in our normal flow as we could. And as soon as I take him to school, I rush back up to the hospital. And all the doctors had already come through about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And I got there about 8:30, a quarter of a 9. And all of a sudden, when I walked in, she began to stir just a little bit. It's Tuesday. It's now the fifth day. It's not the fourth day. And she began to stir, and her eyes open up. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so all of a sudden, the nurse walks in, the doctor walks in, and he runs over to her bed and says, how are you doing? And she looks up, and I'm like, what's going on? And he says, what year is it? And she looks up and she says, 2012. And he says, who's the president? He says, Obama. And she looks at me and she says, did you get Barton's medicine? That was the last question she had asked me before all of this happened. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so this was unbelievable. I got to show you something, okay? This was March 2nd. That's what her foot looked like that day. She was purple when we took her in. But in this time process, she began to get black completely. She was black all the way up to her knees. And then it began to reverse, and it got, she stayed black for quite a while above, up to her ankle. And so that's what she saw. And so whenever she woke up and she looked at me and said, did you get Barton's medicine? This is what the doctor said. We've got good news. You're going to live, and we're only going to have to cut your legs off. That's good news. This is what we had been seeing for the last 5 days, and at that point, she had still not seen them. And so, with that being said, she stayed in the hospital and for 14 days. And the doctor said that if she lived, that she would expect brain damage, expect a feeding tube, and dialysis for the rest of her life. And that was the optimistic outlook. And he said one of the doctors was talking about cutting her legs off, and the surgeon came in and said, even now, you know, we're not fighting for our legs. We're still fighting for our life. Nobody really knows exactly what she's got. And so there was no reason to cut her legs off immediately because there was no new infection. It wasn't going anywhere else. It was not invading her current blood system. And so they didn't cut her legs off. And so with that being said, we just continued to wait every day for that process. Let me go ahead and tell you, so because some of you are like, well, what happened? Because I'm going to get into another section. I want you to understand, this is what happened. Robin had an atypical pneumonia. The steroid shot increased her sugar level, and the body responded with an autoimmune blood clotting disorder called cold agglutinin. She went septic and had a multi-organ failure and then went into DKA, which is diabetic ketoacidosis, and it advanced her sugar to over 1,000. So that, and you see now why I read that to you instead of trying to repeat it. Do I have anybody here who's in the medical field, medical industry? Right there. So you understand a little bit more. I mean, not that the rest of us don't, but you probably are sitting here seeing even more that we're reading into that. And so with that, I told you, we just went to Olive Garden for a birthday, at that point just 1 week earlier. And we ate anything and everything that we wanted. There was no diet except, you know, just regular watching what you eat. But there wasn't a carb-counting diet that we did. So 2 weeks later, we go home. And at that point, the doctors had now ordered a hospital bed to come into our room, into our home. She had a wheelchair, and she had this Beezy board. And the way a Beezy board is, she now had a wheelchair, and she would have this wheelchair, and it would roll up. And in order, because of her feet, she had to pull that up, and then this Beezy board would sit here, and she would just scoot off of the wheelchair, and she'd scoot into a chair. Or she would, if we were going into a car, she would have her wheelchair come up, we'd put this under, and then she would shimmy onto the other side into the car because she couldn't put any pressure on her feet. So that became part of our new things that we did. This is called a Beezy board. And then she had a bedpan. And so, you know, that's not something that I was prepared for, you know, and changing that and being able to deal with those kind of things. And then here's one. She talked with a whisper. Everything she said, she had to talk like this. And she could only whisper because the respirator damaged her voice. And so in order to do that, we had to make some adjustments in her life that way because, you know, we're a talking family. And I can't find my zipper on that thing. Here we go. And so we made some adjustments there. And so we would come up with little systems like this. We had a bell. And so we'd use this bell. And that way, she needed something, then we'd come in and then she'd tell us what she needed. And so that was a new portion of our life. And so we had things like that. And sometimes we'd just clap and then we would come into the room. Another thing that we ended up having to do is I had to change her dressing on her feet every day. So this became a part of my life. I began to have to wear gloves because everything that I did, I'd have to dress her feet. And we couldn't get any new things. So then we go around like this all the time. And so that's kind of what we're dealing with. So let me show you a couple pictures and walk you through some things. This is now a good day. 2 weeks later, the day that she comes home. And you can see there's a lot of blistering on the top of her feet. At that point, she wasn't black to her knees anymore. Some of it had already begun to improve, and she's now got out this way, and it's just beginning to blister. But her toes were just like you saw originally. This is the bottom. This is March 26, so we're now not even out over a month, but you can see it's like a plastic bag. And this is my wife. You can see her picture behind there, and you can see her toes there are as black as the ones you just saw in the first picture. And then you begin to see the blistering and how it's beginning to show in her feet. But the black is there. It's just like a skin that's just beginning to melt over there, like a bag. You can begin to see, again, on the top, March 26, you see the top. This is a third-degree burns. It goes all the way down into there. And so, you know, we're still believing God to wake up every day and just see fresh, released, improved skins. And so here again, March 26, you see on the side view of that, how we're looking, okay? And then a month later, April the 7th, you see here, this is a picture of her heel. And the way this is it's coming through here. And the reason I picked that picture to show you is because we would go to the doctor. We were going to lots of doctors. Not only were we learning to believe for healing, we now were learning to believe God to provide because with every one of these visits became a new expense. So this was new. And so the reason I put this picture in here is because the doctor on that day when we went to visit him, he said, you know, I don't know. I mean, we still didn't have to cut her legs off or anything. He said, but even if you could walk, he said, we may have to just cut off the front of your foot. if you can save the heel. Well, that's a picture of the heel, and he says, if you can save the heel. So that day, we began to pray, Lord, we pray for the heel. We pray that you would begin to make this place come off and save the heel for that, okay? And so that's what he's began to say. So right here, I want you to watch, just begin to watch the heel, and you can see it from this angle. Can you all see it okay, or do we need to do any adjustments there? And so then, this place here, I want you to watch this on the top. You see this orange, this yellow spot. The doctor called this full thickness. And so that was an important thing because, you know, when the doctor calls something, that's an important piece because he gave it a name. And he says, that this is full thickness. Well, full thickness means that it's full thickness all the way. It's dead completely all the way down. And in fact, he said, I'll show you. And on that day, right behind this, he cut a hole. He took his scissors. I saw it. He went and cut a hole right in the top. And the green pus just begins to flow out of there. And she didn't even move. She didn't feel it because she was completely numb all the way down. This was not because of any medicine. She just didn't feel anything on that. And so he called it full thickness. And the reason I say what he called it is important is because that's the name he gave it. And the scripture says that the name of Jesus is above all other names. And when he named it, the name of Jesus is even higher. And so we're happy when we begin to hear what they name it. And so here on March 25th, we're beginning to see truly some of this skin just coming off. He's still saying, hope you save the heel, but she's beginning to lose this. And you're beginning to see pink flow through there. Absolutely amazing. And so he's saying, still don't know. At this point, he's saying, you know, I don't know if we're going to have to cut you off at the legs or if we can cut it off at the ankle or if we'll just be able to do a guillotine right over the front above the toes, you know. And this, I mean, he's talking like this. And so he said, if we aren't able just to do the toes, you're better off to take it up to the knee because of the prosthetics that are out there, they really don't have a good clamp just at the ankle level. And so he's saying, well, let's just pray that, or let's just hope, he'd say, hope that we can keep it out where you don't have to take off the full leg and everything. And so at this point, we're still praying for 100%. Two legs, 2 feet, 10 toes, and 10 toenails. That's what we pray for. And that's what we pray for. And so then May 10th, we took her to the doctor's office. And you can begin to see on May 10th, we're beginning to see some flesh underneath those heels and things. And so that was pretty amazing. But I got to tell you, some amazing things began to happen to me during this experience. One day, this guy comes up to me and he says, you've got to calm down. You can't do this stuff and go like you go. You've got to rest. And you've got. He says, you are a candidate for a heart attack. Well, with what I was going through, I actually realized I was a candidate for a miracle, okay? And that's what we began to believe. And so when you see this, we're a candidate for a miracle because this is where it is. And so every day, this is our routine. I have an alarm set for 3:50 every morning because we have to dress her feet every day. And when this all happened, we didn't want to change our pattern in our life that much in terms of taking my son to school. And I still had to work, and there's still things that we had to do. So in order to do all the things we had to do to get him to school on time, I had to get up a little bit earlier because one of the things that was very, very important to me was reading my Bible. And that's what it was. Somebody said, you can't just get up that early and read your Bible. And I said, we can't not. And so at 3:50 every morning, including now, I still get up at 3:50. Sometimes I sleep in a little longer on the weekends, but 3:50 is our time to get up because this is where we hear what God says. Amen. And there's times that I can read something at 4:00 in the morning, and we'll see it come true before 7:00. I mean, it's just amazing. And you can see this kind of stuff. Let me show you some verses that God showed me. Isaiah 53. I want to show you what he said here. Isaiah 53. Some of you already know what we're about to say. This is great stuff. But Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely. Now, surely is a good word. Surely he has borne our griefs And you know, the Hebrew for griefs is sickness. He has borne our sickness. He carried our sorrows. Esteemed to be stricken, smitten by God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastised for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. If we read this and we said, let's take that verse. He died for our sins. And regardless of where we go to church, what denomination we are, if somebody in here right now said, I want to go to heaven, we led you to the Lord and told you what you had to do to be saved, and then we left, we believe that that person would go to heaven, you know, before lunchtime. It can happen, right? Amen. Why do we not believe in the same verse that it says, if it says that by his death and by his blood and that we're forgiven of our sins, why do we not believe that by his stripes we're healed? And so I just began to believe that. And I say I just began to believe it because, you know, I'd always kind of just thought, well, yeah, that sounds good. It's a nice poem. But I wanted to really believe this. And so I began to believe if he said that by his stripes we're healed, then I should take it word for word and believe it that way. And so we began to do that. And then, wow, look at this. Over here, go to Psalm 103. This was a great, great passage. In fact, while you're turning, I'll tell you, this is a Bible. And I used to call it the Bible. Now we call it the benefits included before leaving Earth. Okay? This is a benefit manual. What's that?
Basic instructions.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. That's right. Look here, Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our iniquities and heals all our diseases. We just told you the diseases, they called it. And it says, heals our diseases, redeems our life from destruction. Does that look like destruction? Looks like destruction. We qualify for a miracle here. And so we began to believe this verse. And so, and I say we began to believe it because in the past it was like, okay, we took the first part that says forgives our iniquities, but I really didn't accept that he heals all my diseases. And so we believe that. And then he showed us another verse, Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 at the very beginning here, and it says, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He said, my name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. Amen. That's not just a word that describes him and describes his personality. He said, this is my being. This is my character. This is what I do. And so we wear these gloves every morning. And part of this, we have medicine. And what was amazing is this medicine we put on the black spot. And then I brought you an example here. This is an Adaptix, and this is an oil base. And we'd put that over it, and then I'd wrap it into gauze every morning. We do it every morning. It takes about an hour to do this. And it actually was in the early days, it was taking over an hour, hour and a half to do this. And then we do it again at night. And that was the reason it didn't come last night, is because we did that last night and then we did it again this morning before we came in to do that. And so that's where we were on that. So this was at the doctor's office. But I want to show you May the 10th, I got this other verse. And I was up again, I was reading the Bible, and I want you to look at Ezekiel 37. And what was interesting about this is I was reading through and somebody had told me to look up Ezekiel, a verse in Ezekiel, and I didn't find it. And so I just kept reading. And that particular morning, as I got to Ezekiel 37, God got my attention. And this is what it says. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And then he calls me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valleys, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, oh Lord, you know. What was important about that is the doctor would always say, we don't even know if this was superficial. If the skin comes back, we still don't know if she's got enough structure in her feet to even hold her. And so when I read this passage, it jumped out because it said, you know, can these bones live? And he had just said to us, we don't know if there's even enough structure to hold her up with her bones. And so God asked Ezekiel here, he says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh Lord, you know. And then the Lord said in verse 4, says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. He said, surely, there's that word again, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. He says, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. I got to tell you, I didn't even know what sinew was, but I knew we needed some. And so we began to believe God for that. And so it says, so Ezekiel did what he told him. He says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together and bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. And he said, prophesy to the breath and prophesy and say, breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as I commanded, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I got excited. And so I thought, this is it. This is it. And so I began to say this. This was great. Everywhere I went, if you were in my world, this was the message I gave that day, and this was it. So I began to believe and know that we could believe God for that to occur. And so every day I'd actually take this in there with us, and we would just read it out loud to the feet. And so people say, you can't do that. I says, it just says here, talk to the bones. And that's where we were. That's what we needed. So we did. So, you know, we didn't know any other way to do it. And the thing about it is, you know, we're just trying to learn. I mean, I had been a Christian since I was 8 years old, but I had never been taught some of the things that I'm telling you right now. It wasn't that I didn't believe that he could do it, and it wasn't the doubt that I thought he would do it. It's just that I didn't know how to get that thing going and how to believe that in my life and could it happen. Well, I got to tell you, I wish that I could tell you that all of that had gone away immediately and things looked just like it did there. But I want to tell you, on July the 4th, she stood up and she walked 10 steps from her chair over to a counter. Now, she's walking on her heels. And look there. He said, pray for the heels. And you can see the heels. She turned and she walked back just like that. She had a little walker. She's actually used a walker about 3 days in the whole time period. She doesn't use a walker or anything of that nature at this point. And so that was it. And so I'm going to go through and just show you some quick pictures here for that. On Labor Day, you can see the clippings right here on the pad. That's a successful day. Because when we are working on those and taking those off, if we got 4 clippings, a millimeter, a centimeter worth of clippings off of her feet, that's a good day. And so whenever we'd see somebody and they'd say, how's she doing? I'd say, she's doing good today. That might be what we're speaking of from that perspective. This is in September. Remember that place I told you was called Full Thickness? That's the place that he cut through. And you can begin to see everything around there was coming about. And it was that's what we saw. You can see here in September the bottom and of how that's looking. Now, this is the foot. I want you to watch. It's going to happen fast. This one's a little bit slower for what we saw, but we still believe God for 100%. And so then in October, look at the place that was full thickness, completely filled in. You can believe God. And then you see the toes that are there. And so all of a sudden we've got all the black just out to the toes, and that's where we were. This was in October on Thanksgiving Day of 2012, so basically 2 years ago, next week, this week, you can see right here on the left foot, a toe came off, And the way that happened was the doctor did not remove anything, but I would dress them every morning and every night, and you see that white cream, I would put that over that, and on that white cream, a toe just began to get loose, and it's called self-amputation. And so that came off. And so, but we're still watching for black over here. This is Christmas Day, and I don't know if you can see in there, but you just see all of that. That's called sinew, and that's what we're looking at. And you're seeing all of this tissue just growing back in there. And it doesn't move in front of your eyes. You just know it, but it changes from morning to night. But there she is, and that's what you're seeing on the bottom. But look at her smile.
She still has no feeling in her feet?
She does now.
But then.
She did not then. She had no feeling in her feet at that point. And so when she would walk, she didn't have any feeling under there. And then every morning and every night, you can see I put that cream right there on her feet. Here's January of 2013. At that point, she had lost all of her toes. But she's got full, but all black is gone. And at this point, all we're praying for is that God would bring skin and cover her feet completely. And so you can begin to see the changes evolving here. This is February, and right here in the very middle, you could of the right foot, I could look through the bottom of that, and I could see the bone through the bottom of her foot there, okay? And then in April, you can look through the bottom of that, and you can see the bone. Then this is graduation morning. This is my son's eighth grade graduation. And again, you can look through the bottom and see the bone, but that's what it looks like. She was able to get up, and that's a picture of her the day after graduation. She's standing on exactly what you just saw, but that's the way when you see her or things, that's what we believe for. And so this is June, and you can begin to see the toes are just, or the skins just begin to come over for that part. July 4th, and what I tried to do was to pick things around pictures around holidays, so or something significant to kind of give mile markers. But at that point, we can't see the bone anymore. And so for the last year, this is Thanksgiving Day of last year, so 1 year ago right now, with the bone was actually covered over, but it was still very, very deep. So what we did not see this year is we didn't see that much change from right in here as much as we've been seeing the skin and the flesh growing out from the bone to make the foundation. So it's been slow, but we believe God. But we believe God. This is Thanksgiving. Christmas Day of 2013, this is July 4th. So I've jumped at this point 6 months to show you these pictures. Most thing I think about this picture is look at her smile. I mean, you know, you're still seeing this. She's waited now for 2 years and a quarter. I mean, this is 2012 to 2014. She's still smiling. But look at the left foot. It's completely covered, no drainage at all. And then this one, I want you to see something. Look at here. You see the little top quadrant there, and it comes all the way out because I'm going to show you some. The next pictures are pretty important. But you see right over here where the little toe would be, okay? And then here, this was last week. You begin to see that come around, okay? This is last week. Now, I also want you to notice this blister right over, or it's actually not a blister, it's a callus. And this little callus had formed right up over there to help out, okay, in healing that. This picture was November 15th of last week. And then you can begin to see, this was actually yesterday. And you can see that callus was up a little bit. And then this picture, I just took it this morning. And that's why I first got up this morning. And that callus last night, it actually came in half again. And so you see it here. And then this morning, a little different angle, but half of that came off. And that's what we believe. And so I got to tell you, I don't know what you're going through. Don't know where you are. But I want you to know you can believe God for anything that God says God's going to do. But I got to tell you something. One day, God says, you know, you didn't read all that passage. I said, what do you mean? He said, go back and look again. When I say that, I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but you know when God's speaking to you. So I went back. I want you to read this with me. And so we saw the first 10 verses, and we've seen that come through, and I just showed you the evolution of those pictures. But look at verse 11. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and you brought you up from your graves. I will put a spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it. The day I saw that verse, the thing that I learned was is that there are people right here in Western Kentucky, and when I say Western Kentucky, it's all of Kentucky and it's all of America. They've lost hope. And they don't know that they can believe God for this stuff. But I want to encourage you to know that you can believe God for anything that He says He can do. When you look at the words of this, John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." When you look at John 1:14, it says, "The Word was made flesh." You just saw flesh.
Amen.
The Word was made flesh.
Wow. Yeah.
And we say, well, sometimes you can't take it exactly what it says. Not at 623 Hillgate. You can.
Yeah.
We believe Him. And I just want you to believe for that too. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the men here and their families that you would allow them to know that they can believe you for anything that you said that you would do in your word in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you.